music was my first love, and it will be my last. Music of the future, and music of the past.
Hello folks, and welcome to Graham Stevens Presents. In this show, I shall bring you songs and tunes from stage and screen, as well as by both modern and classical composers. So sit back and relax, and enjoy My Kind of Music.
My music brings me through.
Hello there, and welcome back. And welcome this week to my album of the month. Freddie Mercury was born on the 5th of September 1946, so he's just passed what would have been his 76th birthday. So it seemed an appropriate time to play you again a show I brought you back in 2018, featuring Queen's A Night at the Opera.
A Night at the Opera was the fourth studio album by the British rock band Queen, released on the 21st of November 1975 by EMI Records in the United Kingdom and by Elektra Records in the United States. It was produced by Roy Thomas Baker and Queen. It was the most expensive album ever recorded at the time of its release. The album takes its name from the Marx Brothers film of the same name, which the band watched one night at the studio complex when recording. A Night at the Opera incorporates a wide range of styles, including ballads, songs in a music hall style, hard rock tracks, and progressive rock influences. The album topped UK Albums Chart for 4 non-consecutive weeks. It peaked at number 4 on the US Billboard 200 chart and became the band's first platinum-selling album in the US. The worldwide sales for the album are over 6 million copies. It also produced the band's most successful single in the UK, Bohemian Rhapsody, which became their first UK number one and one of the best-selling singles in both the UK and the world. The first track on the album is Death on Two Legs, dedicated to... The song was written by Freddie Mercury and allegedly describes his hatred of Queen's original manager, the late Norman Sheffield, who is reputed to have mistreated the band and abused his managerial role from 1972 to 1975. Roger Taylor also noted that despite the success of Killer Queen and Sheer Heart Attack, the album preceding A Night at the Opera, the band was broke before the album was made. The song was recorded and mixed at Sam East Studios in late 1975. As with Bohemian Rhapsody, most of the guitar parts on the song were initially played on piano by Mercury to demonstrate to Brian May how they needed to be played on guitar. Here then, Death on Two Legs, dedicated to...
Yeah. fucking kiss my ass goodbye.
Feels good. Are you satisfied? Do you feel like suicide?
You shit your conscience, alright.
Does it plague you at night?
Do you feel good?
Feel good.
Death on Two Legs. Blazing on a Sunday Afternoon is another song by Freddie Mercury. He played piano and performed all of the vocals. The lead vocal was sung in the studio and reproduced through headphones in a tin bucket elsewhere in the studio. A microphone picked up the sound from the bucket, which gives it its hollow megaphone sound. The guitar solo is also reported to have been recorded on the vocal track, as there were no more tracks to record on, as explained by producer Roy Thomas Baker during the Classic Albums documentary. Here then, Lazing on a Sunday Afternoon. Lazing on a Sunday Afternoon. I'm in Love with My Car is amongst Roger Taylor's most famous songs in the Queen catalogue. The song was initially taken as a joke by May, who thought that Taylor was not serious when he heard a demo recording. Taylor played the guitars in the original demo, but they were later re-recorded by May on his Red Special. The lead vocals were performed by Taylor on the studio version and all released live versions. The revving sounds at the conclusion of the song were recorded by Taylor's then current car, an Alfa Romeo. The lyrics were inspired by one of the band's roadies, Jonathan Harris, whose Triumph TR4 was evidently the love of his life. The song is dedicated to him. The album says, "Dedicated to Jonathan Harris, boy racer to the end." Here then, Queen again with "I'm in Love with My Car."
Pumping and the hot cats are
I'm in love with my car. You're My Best Friend was Queen's first single written by John Deacon. He composed while he was learning to play piano. He played the Wurlitzer electric piano, which Freddie Mercury called a horrible instrument in an interview on the recording, and overdubbed the bass later on. The song was written for his wife, Veronica Tetzlaff. It was a top 10 hit in the UK. You're My Best Friend, written by John Deacon. 39 was Brian May's attempt to do sci-fi skiffle. 39 relates the tale of a group of space explorers who embark on what is, from their perspective, a year-long voyage. Upon their return, however, they realise that 100 years have passed because of the time dilation effect in Einstein's special theory of relativity, and the loved ones they left behind are now all dead or aged. Brian May sings the song on the album, with backing vocals by Freddie Mercury and Roger Taylor. During live performances, Freddie Mercury sang the lead vocal. Brian May had asked bassist John Deacon to play double bass as a joke, but a couple of days later he found Deacon in the studio with the instrument, and he had already learned to play it. Since Queen had named their albums A Night at the Opera and A Day at the Races after two of the Marx Brothers' most popular films, surviving brother Groucho Marx invited Queen to visit him at his Los Angeles home in March 1977, 5 months before he died. The band thanked him and performed 39 a cappella. George Michael performed 39 at the Freddie Mercury tribute concert on 20th of April 1992. George cited this song as his favourite Queen song, claiming he used to busk it on the London Underground. Recently, Queen have included the song on the set lists of their recent tours with Adam Lambert, and before Adam with Paul Rogers. For all these tours since 2005, it is sung as it is on the album by Brian May. Here is 39.
fear, never cry.
Don't you hear my call?
39. Sweet Lady is a distortion-driven fast rocker by Brian May. The song is an unusual rock style in 3/4 meter, which gives way to 4/4 at the bridge. Roger Taylor remembers it as the most difficult drumming part he ever recorded.
You
Sweet Lady. Bringing the first side of the album to a conclusion is Seaside Rendezvous, which was written by Freddie Mercury, and is notable for the mock instrumental bridge section, which begins at around 51 seconds into the song. The section is performed entirely by Freddie and Roger Taylor, using their voices alone. Freddie imitates woodwind instruments, including a clarinet, and Roger mostly brass instruments, including tubas and trumpets, and even a kazoo. During this section, Roger Taylor hits the highest note on the album, C6. The tap dance segment is performed by Freddie Mercury and Roger Taylor on the mixing desk with thimbles on their fingers. Freddie Mercury plays both grand piano and jangle honky-tonk. Here is Seaside Rendezvous. Seaside Rendezvous. You are listening to Graeme Stevens Presents here on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM, as this week I present to you my classic album, A Night at the Opera by Queen. Opening side 2 of the album is The Prophet's Song, the longest track on the album. It was composed by Brian May, the working title People of the Earth. On the show In the Studio with Redbeard, which spotlighted A Night at the Opera, Brian May explained that he wrote the song after a dream he had had about a great flood while he was recovering from being ill while recording the Sheer Heart Attack album, and is the source of some of the lyrics. He spent several days putting it together, and it includes a vocal canon sung by Freddie Mercury. The vocal and later instrumental canon was produced by Early Tape Delay Devices. It is a heavy and dark number with a strong progressive rock influence and challenging lead vocals. At over 8 minutes in length, it's also Queen's longest studio song. As detailed by Brian May in a documentary about the album, the speed-up effect that happens in the middle of the guitar solo was achieved by starting a reel-to-reel player with the tape on it, as the original tape player was stopped. The dream Brian May had was about the Great Flood, and lyrics have references from the Bible and the Noah's Ark account. Here then, The Prophet's Song.
Thank you.
people, can you hear me?
The Prophet's Song. Love of My Life was written for Freddie Mercury's girlfriend at the time, Mary Austin, and is one of his most covered songs. There have been versions by many acts like Extreme, featuring Brian May, Scorpions, and Elaine Page. Freddie Mercury played piano, including a classical solo, and did all of the vocals with startling multi-tracking precision. Brian May played harp, doing it chord by chord, and pasting the takes to form the entire part. Gibson, Hummingbird acoustic guitar, which he'd bought in Japan, and his Red Special. Brian May eventually arranged the song so it could be played on an acoustic 12-string for live performances. Love of My Life was such a concert favourite that Freddie Mercury frequently stopped singing and allowed the audience to take over. It was especially well received during concerts in South America, and the band released the song as a single there. When Queen and Paul Rogers performed the song, he sang almost none of the words and let the audience sing it all, continuing the tradition. Here then, Love of My Life. Love of My Life. Good Company was written and sung by Brian May, who provides all vocals and plays a genuine Aloha ukulele. The recording is remarkable for featuring an elaborate recreation of a Dixieland-style jazz band, produced by way of Brian May's Red Special guitar and DC amp. Brian May composed the song on a banjo ukulele. but recorded the song with a regular ukulele instead. Freddie Mercury was not involved with the song's recording, making it one of the few Queen songs not to feature him. Here is Good Company. Company. Bohemian Rhapsody was written by Freddie Mercury, with the first guitar solo composed by Brian May. All piano, bass and drum parts, as well as the vocal arrangements, were thought up by Freddie on a daily basis and written down in blocks on a phone book. The other members recorded their respective instruments with no concept of how their tracks would be utilised in the final mix. The famous operatic section was originally intended to be only a short interlude of Galileo's that connected the ballad and hard rock portions of the song. The interlude is full of obscure classical characters: Scaramouche, a clown from the Commedia dell'arte, astronomer Galileo, Figaro, the principal character in Beaumarchais' The Barber of Seville and The Marriage of Figaro, Beelzebub, identified in the Christian New Testament as Satan, prince of demons, but in Arabic as Lord of the Flies. Also in Arabic, the word Bismillah, which is a noun from a phrase in the Quran, Bismillah Rahmani Rahim, meaning in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful. During the recording, the song became affectionately known as Fred's Thing to the band, and the title only emerged during the final sessions. despite being twice as long as the average single in 1975 and garnering mixed critical reviews initially, the song became immensely popular, topping charts worldwide, where it remained for an unprecedented 9 weeks in the UK, and is widely regarded as one of the most significant rock songs in history. After Freddie Mercury's death, the song was released as a double A-side to These Are the Days of Our Lives on the 9th of December 1991 in the UK and September the 5th, 1991 in the US. Here then, the classic Bohemian Rhapsody.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go. Little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter.
Killed a man, put a gun against his head, pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama,
stop.
Queen and Bohemian Rhapsody. You have been listening to Graeme Stevens Presents here on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM, as this week I've presented the classic album A Night at the Opera by Queen. That's nearly all for this week, folks, so until I speak to you again next week, this is Graeme Stevens saying, keep smiling and let your fantasies unwind. Brian May recorded a cover version of God Save the Queen, the British National Anthem, in 1974, before their Sheer Heart Attack tour. He played a guide piano, which was edited out later and added several layers of guitars. After the song was completed, it was played as an outro at virtually every Queen concert. When recording the track, Brian played a rough version on piano for Roy Thomas Baker. He called his own skills on the piano subpar at the time. He performed the song live on the roof of Buckingham Palace for the Queen's Golden Jubilee in 2002. Brian May has stated that he performed the song on the roof of Buckingham Palace as an homage to Jimi Hendrix's version of the Star-Spangled Banner. Guitar layering is one of May's distinctive techniques as a rock guitarist. He has said that the technique was developed whilst looking for a violin sound. For tracks like this, he stated he can use up to 30 layers, using a small amplifier named the DC Amp, built by Deacon and later released commercially, like the Brian May amplifier by Vox. So, to conclude A Night at the Opera, here is God Save the Queen. Queen and God Save the Queen. Until next time, goodbye and have a great week.
Music was my first love, and it will be my last. Music of the future, and music of the past. Without my music, would be impossible to do. In this world of troubles, my music brings me through.
This program is made with assistance of New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and Access Internet Radio. Thanks, New Zealand On Air.